This year at Ministers Week, they ask all of us ministers to introduce ourselves and our wives and families and church and share one part of the Bible that you appreciate and would have loved to live through the time. Anywhere from Genesis to Revelation. Some of you have shared future events that... And it was interesting to hear everyone share, but one of the highlights for me, if I could pick a time to go back and experience a Bible happening, I think I would choose Acts chapter 2 in the day of Pentecost. And many reasons why. It's just a story that is a great display of God and God's power and God's work and God's planning. The prophets of old prophesied of this day, and Acts chapter 2, verse 1 starts this way: when the day of Pentecost was fully come. The day arrived, and what an experience, and all the details around that I want to share this morning. Titled the message, The Great Day of Expectation, and today is Pentecost. This day is 10 days after Ascension Day, and both Ascension Day and Pentecost are missing in many people's, many churches, and I'm talking about just the time to reflect on that day and what happened and what God is doing, and how it affects your own life. And so my prayer this morning is that this just impacts us all again, because it is an in or out experience. Romans 8 is very clear that he that hath not the Spirit is none of mine. I don't know how much clearer you can get than that. So it's an in or out experience. Either you have the Spirit and you're a child of God, you're in the family of God, or you're outside. It's an alarming thought to think about that. Someone said this, that if God would call the Holy Spirit home to heaven, many churches and people's lives would go on just the same. Now that's a gripping thought. And I want all of you to meditate upon that. How close do you live to God, and how close do you feel the Spirit of God, His presence, His power, His voice guiding you and empowering you and assuring you that you're a child of God, and all that the Holy Spirit does. He intercedes for everyone with groanings that cannot be uttered. So many things that the Holy Spirit does in our lives. And I want us all to think about your experience as you are living for God and drawing close to God. So the title of the message is The Great Days of Expectation. We have several mothers who are expecting babies, and Brian and Alana were blessed this week, waited a long time, and the day came. And what a gift that is, and what an experience that is. And we are looking forward to Riley and Katharina. Their day is coming, and we're excited about that. And we're going to be grandpa and grandma again. And it's just an experience that is precious. And I think I'd like to compare that waiting and that expectation to the day of Pentecost and how God promised this years ago through the prophet Joel. And then the day finally came. And that's what we're going to look at in the sermon this morning. So we're going to start in Joel chapter 2. One of the clearest prophecies in the Old Testament of this day and this coming was Joel. I don't know that he prophesied the birth of Christ, but he was the one who clearly spoke of this sometime 700 BC. We don't know exactly when the book was written, but way back in the Old Testament, Joel wrote this and prophesied this in Joel 2:28-32. Let's stand, and we're going to read this prophecy if you can, if you're able. Joel 2. In the midst of Joel prophesying of the great day and terrible day of the Lord, the locust worm and all the judgments that God was going to bring, and then also the restoration in 28, he shifts way to the future, to the day of Pentecost. Let's look at that, and I'm going to read that here. Chapter 2, verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days I will pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens above, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. You may be seated. I brought a picture along, and I like this picture for all of you to think about God promising here through the prophet Joel that in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And it's pretty precious thought, and I like this image of God pouring his spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is described as being poured out upon all flesh who believe. All who repent and all who come to the Lord and all who confess their sins and by faith come to Jesus, God will do this. I don't think he had a picture, but I like this image for you to think about this promise and what Joel prophesied here and how this happened. If we have time, we'll look at the New Testament and some of the experiences that happened connected to the preaching of the word and faith. I also like to think, it helps me to think about when Peter was preaching in the house of Cornelius, the Holy Spirit was poured out on everyone in that house while he was preaching. And it helps me to think that anointed, spirit-filled preaching is the method that God chose to save souls. Described in Corinthians as the foolishness of preaching. Sometimes it comes around Sunday after Sunday. It's work to do. But it is God's ordained method. Holy Spirit preaching connected with faith. And when you receive the Word of God, the Spirit of God comes. And I think that can happen this morning. And that happens in our lives where God's Spirit comes. And we're filled with the Spirit. We're commanded to be filled with the Spirit. But this here was Joel's prophecy here that in the last days, God would do this upon all flesh. It will not be just the chosen, selected few like as the prophets and some that were called to specific works in the Old Testament. They received the Spirit of God inside and they spoke under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It was only a few of the believers within Judaism that received the Holy Spirit, but Joel's saying the time is coming, it's going to be all. It's going to be a mark of God upon your life. It's going to be something God does to every believer. And that to me is profound. It is also the line between the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Covenant and the New Covenant began on the day of Pentecost. So now let's go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 and 2 is where the account happens, but I want to start by the days of waiting and the last day of Jesus lived upon this earth before he ascended into heaven, and his last words possibly to his own disciples, he gathered them together. So it was 40 days after his resurrection, he spent the most of his time with his disciples. He taught them. He spent time because this was a great task that would fall upon their shoulders when Jesus left. And in Acts chapter 1, we have the account where Jesus gathered them together upon the great Mount of Olives. And I picture that the last time, and Jesus knew the hour was come when he would ascend to heaven. And he just had a few last words with his disciples. And this is what he said in Acts chapter 1. It says in 1, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he had showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." So Jesus gathers his disciples together, and up until the last day he was teaching, and he was about the kingdom work, and there they were together, and he said these words that they were to wait for the promise of the Father. This prophecy of Joel was close. 10 days. And the day of Pentecost came. So they were to wait in Jerusalem. And Jesus said that he would baptize with the Holy Ghost not many days thence. So Jesus is the one who baptizes with the Holy Ghost. We don't do that. That is the promise that God made through Joel, and it was carried out in Acts chapter 2, where God did a miraculous work pouring out his Spirit upon the believers first. The disciples, I don't believe, fully understood what was happening at that time and what would happen 10 days later when the Holy Spirit fell upon the 120 and those that were gathered together. They were called to wait. And Jesus here promised that he would baptize them with the Holy Spirit. This is the gift that we all are promised and we all experience when God comes to us, when we respond to him in faith, obedience, and repentance. The Spirit of God is poured out. And he said to them in verse 7, "It is not for you." Verse 6, they came together and they asked him, saying, "Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" And he said unto them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." So they were to wait until the Holy Spirit came. There's many lessons here. Jesus was dependent upon the Holy Spirit. He taught. It says in verse 2, "Through the Holy Spirit had given commandments and the apostles whom he had chosen." So the Holy Spirit was working through the life of Jesus as well. Jesus was empowered by the Holy Spirit. He taught under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And that is how we are to function as well. We are powerless without the Holy Spirit. But when the Holy Spirit comes, we will see the effects in chapter 2 of what happened and how the message began in Jerusalem, right like Jesus said right here, wait till you receive power, wait till the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then you will be witnesses. You automatically will open your mouth. You automatically will begin talking about the works of God. You will automatically just have a presence and a tongue that is ready to speak for God. And I believe it is the same way today. When God comes to us, we have a message to share, and we are witnesses. We are His witnesses to take that message to the world. Just suppose they hadn't waited and they got together and they said, you know what, we can go do this. Let's go. And they begin to spread out and they begin to try to do it in their own power. It would have failed, and we this morning wouldn't be believers. That's how important this was. The 120, the chosen disciples and those that were followers of Jesus, waited in the upper room, and they didn't really fully know what was going to happen on this great day of Pentecost. But when they received the Holy Spirit, they were ready to go. And the great harvest of souls that happened as a result of their obedience. So I believe there's a few lessons for us in this as well. We need to wait on God. We need to learn to wait on God. Some of us may have a calling, and I believe there's a anointing that goes with special callings, and God calls people to different works. And also, we need to come to God and place our faith and trust in Him, and wait till we receive the power of the Holy Spirit before we can begin to live the Christian life and before we can begin to experience victory in our lives. And all of these things will not happen until we have God's presence within. If Christ Jesus was dependent upon the Spirit, how much more are we dependent of the Spirit of God? Now, the baptism of the Spirit in verse 5 was promised here. The church is commanded to baptize with water, but Jesus promised that He will baptize with the Spirit. So I believe it is important to keep these two separate, because that they are clearly two different events. Jesus baptizes every believer, and the church, in response, baptizes with water. The command Jesus gave before He left as well, we're to go into all the world and we're to baptize. That does not mean we're to baptize with the Spirit. Jesus does that. But we are to baptize with water. Everyone who believes on Jesus Christ and responds to the gospel call and comes to Christ by faith, we, in response to that faith, we baptize with water. So the baptism of the Spirit. John was the one who instituted water baptism in the Jordan River. John was preaching a message of repentance and baptizing people onto repentance and pointing them to the one who would follow, which was Jesus Christ, who is mightier than I. And He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That's what John said. So he was preparing the way for Jesus to follow after. And Jesus baptizes with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I'm not quite sure exactly what all the fire represents, but the baptism of the Holy Ghost is what we're looking at here this morning, where Jesus promised that He will do it. And Joel already prophesied of that in the Old Testament. It is also referred to as a gift. In Acts chapter 2, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." So it is a gift. It is a precious gift. It is God coming to us, His very presence, the Holy Spirit coming to live within And our body becomes the temple of God. That is a gift. And I don't know that you can get any closer to God than that. With the Holy Spirit living within, and you feel His presence, you feel His guidance, you feel Him, and then you read the Word, and the Holy Spirit is the author of the Word, and so there's this connection. As you get into the Word, the Spirit of God lives within your heart. The Spirit of God is the author of the Word. And so there's this going on as you read the Word. That is a picture of God revealing Himself in a very real way to each of us individually. As much we could say about witnesses, this happened here in chapter 2 where the Holy Spirit came and they began speaking the words of God and everyone heard it. There was miraculous tongues that were given them, which was a language, and people heard it. So they began to go out and the message spread from this point. Jesus said they're to wait, and then this happened. So the next point is the day arrived. They waited in obedience. They followed the Lord. Everyone that was in the upper room after Jesus ascended into heaven, they watched Him go. And they all huddled up and they went back to Jerusalem to the upper room. And it says that they were together in one accord. And they waited as Jesus told them to wait. The day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, was fully come. I want you to picture the setting here. And this was one of the Jewish feasts. Every one of the Jewish feasts that there were seven Jewish feasts mentioned in the book of Exodus and Leviticus, beginning with Passover and unleavened bread, the Feast of First Fruits, and then Pentecost was known as the Feast of Weeks, or it means, the meaning of the word means 50. So if you count 50 days from Passover, that's when the Feast of Weeks happened. So it was very precise timing. And if you read Acts chapter 2, Jews from all over the known world were together in Jerusalem. This was all Jewish at this point. God chose that this would be the way the Holy Spirit would come, and it would come upon the Jewish people. There were not Gentiles in Jerusalem at this time. This was a Jewish feast, and they were coming from all over the world. It says from all the places that are mentioned there and different languages they spoke. But everyone came together for the Feast of Passover. Everyone came together for the Feast of Weeks. Everyone came together for the fall feasts, which were the trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Booths. So those seven feasts have significance in the coming of Jesus Christ and the coming of the Holy Spirit. So Pentecost came right at this Jewish feast in the center of celebration of the harvest. The day of, it was also known as the Day of First Fruits, where they would get together, they would bring the first fruits of the barley harvest, I believe it was, in the summer, and they would get together to worship and praise God and celebrate as they came together. So I believe already in Exodus, God was planning this all out to the day. And you can just see the hand of God working throughout the pages of the Bible. The seven Jewish feasts are very significant in that. So they were together, it says, with one accord and in one place. I think there's a lesson there as well. The Spirit of God comes to a church that's unified. I believe we heard that message coming very strong from the ones that were in Haiti over the kidnapping. They struggled through that experience, and you listened to their story. It was 12 or I forget exactly how many it was anymore. But all of them had to come to the place of a unified goal and a unified vision and a unified plan where they were to escape. And some were ready to die. I think it would be the same in this group as well. You put yourself in that setting, and he says, Sam says very strong, there is power in unity. It's worth working for. It's hard work. And it was hard work for them. Some were not ready to go, and some were ready to go, and some were ready to die, and some were not quite ready to die, and some were ready to run no matter what happens, gunshot, whatever. And they wrestled through that in prayer and unity till they came to a unified goal. And that was what happened here. They were together in one place in a unified, obedient heart, waiting for the promise. And the day came. Now, if some went out of the group, they would have missed it, I believe. But there's power in unity. They were together, and it says, suddenly there came a sound from heaven, verse 2, as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and sat on each of them. The Holy Spirit is described as a rushing wind, and I like that description. If you ever were out in a storm or you have a nice wind, this was probably a gentle breeze, I'm thinking, but the room just suddenly was filled with a presence, and everybody just heard this I believe this was a literal, it was similar to that. I'm not sure if there was a noise to it or whatever, but the Spirit of God is described as the wind. It comes and goes, and we cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes, but we can see the effects of it. So this is a little what was happening here. The wind began to blow, and there was a presence in the house. It was very similar to what happened on Mount Sinai, where God came down upon the mountain, the very presence of God in fire. There was fire, and people responded and stood back in fear as God's presence came down upon the mountain, and there were boundaries set, but God's presence came down upon the mountain, and God spoke directly to Moses. Face to face, I believe. And then when they built the temple and the tabernacle, the Holy of Holies was the place where God, the presence of God was. There was the outer court and then the holy place and then the Holy of Holies, where only the high priest went in once a year. That was a place you went in carefully, reverently, and respectfully. But God's presence came into the Holy of Holies with fire. And here we have the same picture in Jerusalem where God's Spirit and God's presence came into the room and everyone felt the presence and then God came to each one of them. Individually, the Spirit of God came and there were tongues that were given them. They had other tongues. They could speak the languages of everyone that was there. So everyone heard the message. There was a supernatural tongue that was given to them. But the point is that God came. This was the first time that this ever happened, where God's Spirit came. And this promise is for us as well today. This promise of Joel, that God's Spirit will be poured out. And this was also the promise that Jesus said, I will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. This is the baptism of the Spirit. Came to those that were walking in obedience and faith. And God's Spirit came. So the Holy Spirit takes all believers, baptizes them, and places them into the body of Christ, the very presence of God. And this is a great blessing as you think of your own experience, your own conversion experience. You may not have felt the wind blowing and this same experience, but this happens to every person who places their faith in Christ. And it's the promise. This is where the church began, and it happened to all of those who were walking in obedience and followers of Jesus Christ. So what I want to encourage everyone this morning is I believe all of us have to align ourselves with God. The promise is to everyone, but I think we have to align ourselves with God's blessings and God's Spirit that comes to every person. How do you align yourself with God? How do you walk in obedience and faith? I believe there's one baptism of the Spirit, but there's many fillings. In Ephesians 5, it says we're to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I believe if you think about it that way, you'll be guided right. In that there's only one baptism which places you into the family of God, but there's many fillings. The command to be filled with the Spirit, I believe, is all through our experience as a Christian. As we align ourselves with God, as we walk in obedience, as we turn our back to the world, and as we live for Christ as a disciple of Christ, we're aligning ourselves with God and we're walking in the Spirit. We're continually experiencing His presence. He's guiding us. He's speaking to us. He's alive within us. And there's a connection that we have to the Father through the Holy Spirit and to Jesus Christ. So Jesus told His disciples before He was crucified, He prepared them for this, and He said, "If you love Me, keep My commandments. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Comforter, and that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him not. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you." And Thomas, or it was Judas, one of them, said, "How will you reveal yourself to us and not to the world? How will this be, that you'll reveal yourself to the disciples and not the world?" And Jesus said, it's very simple. If you love Me, you'll keep My commandments. And My Father and I will come and dwell with you. So there's the key. To align yourself with God, to align yourself with God's Spirit, is to follow Him and to obey Him and to walk in the Spirit. And I believe that's an ongoing experience, where we need to continue to come back to God and walk in obedience. We could talk a while on witnessing as well. I believe this is a natural response. And I want to encourage each of you to talk about the Lord. And just share your experience. I believe this presence will be so powerful. There will be something radiant about your face, the presence of God. You may not be aware of it, but God dwelling within is just like a radiance. The glory of God is reflected through your life, and something powerful will be happening every day of your life without even opening your mouth. I believe that's the proof of the pudding. When you have that presence with you, you're reflecting God's glory, and you're just a witness. But then I think there is also the need to open your mouth, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, and take courage to talk about the Lord. Take courage to warn sinners of their way and encourage them to walk in obedience. Take time to to encourage the sinners to repent of their ways and come to God and join the small group, the family of God, the ways that are not popular to the world. And this message, I believe we start in Jerusalem. Our Jerusalem is our homes. And then it goes out to the communities, and it goes out further, and it can reach all the way to the world, the other ends of the world, the uttermost parts of the world. And praise God, it began here. The disciples were faithful in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, where there's feelings like this, and then the uttermost parts of the world. And here we are this morning because of that. And I believe each one of us can have that experience. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the world. We want to go into all the world and do everything we can. But this presence of God, it's miraculous. We don't understand exactly how God does it all, but it's a promise. And it's a mark that God has upon our lives. The gospel reaction, the reaction to this, what happened in Acts chapter 2, when they began to hear the message in their own language, they all began to, in verse 12, Acts chapter 2, it says, they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Like, what is this? And I don't think we have to speak in another tongue or speak with tongues to have this same experience. We'll have this reaction where people will stand in amazement at what God is doing in your life. People stand. What is all happening in the life of a Christian? And then others, some were attracted to it, and others simply mocked. And he said, these disciples are drunk with wine. It's the same way today. If people look at you different, say you're drunk, because you're so filled with the Spirit, we're told we're not to be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. So the same response happens. We need to get a little intoxicated with the Holy Ghost. Forget about the wine. Forget about the beer. Forget about the whiskey and all the bar rooms. But let's get intoxicated with the Holy Ghost. And people look at us as if we're drunk. That's what happened back here. And I think the same thing can happen in our own lives. When we walk with the Lord, we don't make sense to everyone, and that's okay. But we need to love people and care about people. And it was in this setting that Peter stood up. I would have loved to hear this. I would have loved to hear Peter preach. I love Peter, just all of his, but this one, all of his experiences in the Bible, from walking in the water to... He was just an amazing man. He was filled with failure and failed, but he got up again and many times. But here it was Peter. Yes, he was an outspoken person, but Peter was the one who stood up. And I could just picture telling everyone, men and brethren, these men are not drunk with wine. This is not a drunkenness, but this is all the way back to the prophet Joel. This is the day that we were waiting for, and it can happen to every one of you. You are Jewish people. You are the ones who crucified the Lord. He went through the whole account, and they're standing there convicted of the Spirit. Conviction came upon them. They were pricked in their hearts as Peter spoke the Word of God. He preached under the unction of the Holy Ghost, and the results were amazing. They cried out, what do we do? What do we do? They understood that Jesus was the Messiah, that they crucified the Lord. What do we do? And he said, repent. Come back to the Lord and be baptized and you'll receive this Holy Spirit that we have. And that's, I believe, what we need to do as well. Open our mouth for the Lord. In small ways. We don't have to have a crowd like Peter did or have a voice like Peter did and courage, I believe. Peter was one of a kind, but I believe we can, in small ways, encourage people. This great day had come, and this is where the church began. And it's going through all the world. Here we are, the United States of America. The gospel message went all the way from Jerusalem, Judea, all the way to the United States of America. And I believe it's going to end up in Jerusalem again. Because Jesus will come back in Zechariah chapter 14. He'll come back upon the Mount of Olives. And his feet will stand upon the Mount of Olives again. The same mountain from which he went up. So in conclusion, I want to share one verse to all of you as fathers. Jesus said this in Luke 11:13, "If you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Spirit to them that ask him?" So we know how to give good gifts to our children. If our children would ask for a piece of bread, which loving father would anyone hear, which father would come up and give a stone for a son that's asking for bread, or daughter that's asking for bread? We would give bread. We wouldn't give a stone. We would give a fish. We wouldn't give a serpent. We wouldn't do that. And in the same way, your heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to everyone who asks. So let's ask. Let's come to the Lord and align ourselves with God. Repentance, confession, and faith. Turning your back on the world. And let God's Spirit come into you and empower you. Surrender your life to the Lord. Align yourself with God's Spirit. And be filled with the Spirit. Over and over and over again. So that you can be one known as one who is walking in the Spirit, not according to the flesh, but in the Spirit. Romans chapter 8. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the great day of Pentecost. It says when the day finally came, the prophet Joel prophesied. The Jewish people were together in Jerusalem around a Jewish feast. All the Jews were together from all over the known world, and you poured out your Spirit upon everyone who cried out in faith. And the promise is to your children, your children's children, to everyone who believes. Men servants, maid servants, children, grandchildren, all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this great promise, this great day, this great experience, and the mark that you have upon every believer's life, the Holy Spirit living within. And the inheritance, the guarantee or the down payment of more to come when you come back. We thank you, Lord, and I pray that all of us here this morning could align ourselves with the Holy Spirit and experience the power and refreshing presence of your Spirit living within. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.